I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
New Treasury documents are revealing that bank investigators at Wells Fargo and J.P. Morgan Chase suspected Hunter Biden of being associated with a sex trafficking ring, which was based in Eastern Europe, and that he falsified checks to pay prostitutes. That's according to suspicious activity reports that Hunter Biden's accounts were being monitored as late as December of 2019. So remember I said, this isn't so far ago in the past. The feds actually raised the possibility of charging Hunter Biden for crimes related to sex trafficking, according to IRS whistleblower documents made public by the House Ways and Means Committee last week. A Justice Department Tax Division prosecutor outlined 9 instances in which Hunter Biden appeared to be communicating with prostitutes and coordinating their travel across state lines.
9 different instances apparently documented by bank records. Now, we talked about this before, that he was hiring a young woman from California to fly into Delaware, supposedly to do secretarial work. Must pay really good money. Got a private jet for her to bring her in for secretarial work. And maybe a few fringe benefits. Now, what difference does it make if Hunter Biden is involved in prostitution one way or the other, except that it's a federal violation to fly across state lines? And then the connection that it might be involving an international sex ring. Now, I know, I'm hearing already, this is not Joe Biden, this is Hunter Biden. Why bother? Because everything goes back to Daddy in one way or the other. Did Daddy take part in anything like that? There's no record and no indication, no even allegation that he was involved in that kind of activity. But all it is really stressing is one more lie, one more nail in the coffin of the Biden crime family. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, October 3rd, 2023, the first of 2 hours, back-to-back. Larry Connors, USA, right here for you. Reminding you, we also stream from the studio at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors, USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And if you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. And you'll find every program, either audio and or video. Pull them up. Review them in case you missed something. Share them with friends, family. Get the word out. This is one of the more engaging talk shows underway. I'm not trying to put down other programs. I'm simply telling you this one is built upon dealing with the facts and opinion and analysis, which is exactly what we do at News Talk STL Facebook and Facebook on Larry Connors USA. News, analysis, opinion. You're getting it all. So this statement you were hearing from the Fox reporter about something that we did hear about previously, about money and supposedly involving sex trafficking across state lines, and then also the added international intrigue of a sex ring. Leo Terrell, is a law professor and deep in legal knowledge. Also is a contributor to Fox News. I want to make that very clear to you. He's not on CNN, so he's on Fox News, so understand that alliance, and he gets paid for it. But the question was raised, with all this stuff in front of us, the bank records showing how the money was being spent, where it was going, particularly on sex rings and things of this nature, why are there no charges against Hunter on those cases?
We're not going to get charges from this Department of Justice. You got Merrick Garland going on a PR campaign on 60 Minutes. The evidence is there. You just articulated probable cause. You just laid it out as an attorney for 30 years. There's overwhelming evidence to pursue this. You have the IRS agents who testify that Hunter Biden tried to use these sex charges and write them off as a tax write-off. There's evidence. But if you honestly believe there's going to be a pursuit of these charges, it's not going to occur through the Department of Justice.
Yeah. Because the Department of Justice is not doing justice. It is doing the bidding of AG Merrick Garland, who's doing the bidding of Joe Biden. Now, I know the 60 Minutes interview over the weekend, Garland took exception to that, but I want to go back over that. This is from this last weekend, Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes doing an interview with Merrick Garland, asking some very pointed questions, and I chastised yesterday saying, as good as some of the questions were, there were some I wish he would have asked. It's very possible he did ask, and they end up on the cutting floor, that maybe they were a little bit too deep, that they were going to be a little too much of a cut, so let's simply eliminate them. I'm making a judgment here. I don't know. I don't know how it went down. The way they normally do this on 60 Minutes, they have a producer that puts the thing together. They send the correspondent out, Scott Pelley in this case, to ask the questions. And, of course, they can ask additional. They don't stick to script. Mike Wallace never did. And I'm not sure that Scott Pelley would either. But at the same time, I don't know how much input the reporters, be it Mike Wallace of the days of old or Scott Pelley today, actually have in what is the final content against the executive producer. But let's go back to this issue. In 60 Minutes interview over the weekend, Scott Pelley asking A.G. Merrick Garland and pointing out, you know, you guys are not seen as really being that much into justice.
The allegation is, Mr. Attorney General, that what is described in some quarters as the Biden Justice Department is taking it easy on the president's son.
Well, look, this investigation began under David Weiss. David Weiss is a longstanding career prosecutor, and he was appointed by Mr. Trump as the United States Attorney for the District of Delaware. I promised at my nomination hearing that I would continue him on in that position and that I would not interfere with this investigation.
You are not participating in those decisions?
No, Mr. Weiss is making those decisions.
The White House is not attempting to influence those decisions?
Absolutely not.
And he said we won't have to take his word for it. Under Justice Department regulations, a special counsel must write a final report,
which I will make public to the extent permissible under the law, that is required to explain their prosecuted decisions, their decisions to prosecute or not prosecute, and their strategic decisions along the way. Usually the special counsels have testified at the end of their reports, and I expect that that will be the case here.
Now, did you note that he said, I will make the report public permissible to law? I want to re-stress to you, inside those quotes, permissible to law, there are a lot of avenues to rework things. I mean, every time, and we have seen this in the past, a congressional committee, in particular a GOP committee, demanding some documents from the Justice Department, they get them and it's redacted all over. It might as well just hand them a black sheet of paper. There's nothing that they can really read or make out of it. Redacted. Some information supposedly too sensitive to be unveiled or literally too damning to be unveiled. Is that an overstatement? Well, we wouldn't know, would we? Because they're redacted. And that's part of the game plan. Hunter today in Delaware, in court on gun charges. He entered a plea. Now remember, he's facing these gun charges because the deal they tried to shovel through connected to some IRS charges, we're going to basically dismiss the gun charges to the extent of My bad, I didn't check a box, or I did check a box, I didn't see it right, whatever. Well, the boxes he checked were creating basically a false statement on a firearm application. That's a felony. Don't you think you'd be a little more conscious of what you're checking? A false statement to the dealer that's selling them the gun, putting the dealer in harm's way. Again, well, of course, he could probably care less about the gun dealer. And then there's a part about, are you using or have been using or addicted to drugs? Oh, I accidentally must have checked. Is that going to be the excuse? So in the court today, the judge restated the rules you must remain under while we move forward. Today was a lot of preliminary stuff. You must not possess a gun, no alcohol. I'm waiting for someone to come forward and say that's being violated. No drugs which are not prescribed by a doctor. MSNBC was covering part of it, and I want to go to them because they're talking about all of this today was a preliminary to set up a November 3rd, maybe get into more details.
From there, they moved to the arraignment. His attorney, Abby Lowell, entering a not guilty on his behalf. The judge then asked if there were any overriding issues that need to take place before pretrial motions are due on November 3rd. And the defense counsel, Abby Lowell, spoke and he said that he intends to file two motions to dismiss. One, that the pretrial diversion agreement on this specific judge, gun conduct, is in effect, that it was signed at the time. It's an agreement between federal prosecutors, the Justice Department, and Hunter Biden. Both sides signed it, so they believe it's in effect and that this indictment and this potential trial shouldn't even be occurring at all. So they're gonna go for a motion to dismiss on that. That's widely been anticipated by legal experts. The second one is the constitutionality of these charges. There have been different circuits and courts of appeals that have kind of struck down this particular charge as unconstitutional, so they do anticipate to bring a motion to dismiss based on that. Abby Lowell did say that we will be making a motion for an evidentiary hearing that is presumed to be tied to that pretrial diversion agreement. So we should expect to hear a little bit about what at least Hunter Biden's defense attorneys at the time and possibly his former defense attorney, Chris Clark, believed was the agreement between federal prosecutors and Hunter Biden. So more to come on that. That will be a court hearing that we will have. There will be testimony at that. So I do anticipate certainly a fair amount of legal challenges from the Biden side of things prior to even coming close to a trial here, if that occurs, Anna.
Blah, 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 blah. Have you ever been fishing and got your fishing line all tangled up trying to get it out of the reel and trying to slowly work it out? You might as well have been comparing to all that verbiage to doing the same thing. It is all just this motion, that motion. You know what they're pushing? The attorneys representing Hunter Biden say, we had a deal with the government, that sweetheart deal, and we consider it still in force. They're going to continue pushing that. The IRS thing is done. That's been paid by a California donor for Hunter, $2+ million for back taxes, not reporting interest, penalties, so forth. But the gun charges are still there. This is the kind of thing that could put him behind bars. So they're saying, we had a deal. The government reneged on it, and they're gonna retract all of that. Believe me, it is going to be another tangled mess when you get done with it. The other big issue, of course, facing the nation involves Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida trying to unseat California Congressman McCarthy as House Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Clause 2A1 of Rule 9, I rise to give notice of my intent to raise a question of the privileges of the House.
The gentleman will state the form of his resolution.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant, resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
Now that's a declaration. It's a resolution. It must be voted on within 2 days. In the second segment coming up here, we're going to spend more time on details of this and some of the fighting and feuding back and forth. Now, where do you stand on this? I mentioned yesterday, and I still stand by it, that the GOP has so much in control in the House by a slim margin. So it doesn't take much to blow it all to pieces. And Matt Gaetz is going to have to, as apparently RA has been asking, progressive libs like AOC, will you join me in making sure we oust McCarthy? And even talking to Swalwell, who was sleeping around with a China agent, remember? And yet Pelosi puts him on an intel committee. He's going to have Democrat votes joining him. But there are Republicans, even though I still say you're looking at a circular firing squad, and they might admit it could end up in that, but they think somebody's got to be held more accountable, and they have mixed reactions. One of them in particular would be Tennessee Congressman Burchett.
Am I going to vote for my friend Kevin McCarthy, or am I going to vote with my conscience? You know, we've just gone through almost a shutdown because we took the whole month of August off. Yesterday we came in, we said we weren't going to do any more of these continued resolutions, yet we did. 45 days, backing us right up to Thanksgiving, and we'll be right back there, and I'll guarantee you we'll pass an omnibus. And the American public, frankly, is tired of it, I think. I think we need to pass a budget. Jody Arrington and the budget committee, you know, we haven't passed a budget in 30 years. He gave a budget. He worked out a budget. His committee did. He presented it to our conference. They gave him the obligatory golf clap and sent him on his way. And yet yesterday we came to Washington and we named a post office.
You got to be doing more than naming a post office at this time in particular. This CR, which again I'm against, is good for 45 days. Going to put us right on top of Thanksgiving. And there's going to be another break. Burchett making it clear, I'm a friend of McCarthy, but I can't go with him on this time. I've got a tough decision to make. He's pretty much saying he will go along with Gaetz. Now, you also had Texas Congressman Chip Roy, and he's pretty much already decided where he stands.
If anybody should be pulling a fire alarm, it should be Republicans because of the massive dumpster fire that we have at the southern border and the dumpster fire we have here, spending a whole lot of money we don't have and racking up debt. In this, I agree with Matt Gaetz. We cannot continue the status quo. He's 100% right about that. And we've been setting out all year to try to change the status quo. This is not about personalities. This is about doing our job. We have a massive crisis at the southern border endangering our American citizens and the migrants who seek to come here. We have a crisis in terms of our debt and spending. I would have chosen the path that you just described. Some of my colleagues didn't want to do that. I thought a 30% cut to non-defense, non-veteran spending, plus actually securing the border with the hard-fought HR2 border security package that Republicans passed for the first time in our history. We didn't do it under Trump. We didn't do it at any point in the past. We did that. And we did that because of the work we did in January to get the speaker to put conservatives in the right place. So I think Republicans need to learn how to take wins and then get another win with them.
That is exactly true. When you win something, you don't suddenly give it away. You talk about snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. It also goes the other way. Now, in the next segment, we're going to spend more time on Gaetz, McCarthy, and the reaction from those inside the House, and what is going to be involved to actually remove McCarthy. Well, we've got a lot to cover, not only this hour, but the second hour. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made, 525 pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Clause 2A1 of Rule 9, I rise to give notice of my intent to raise a question of the privileges of the House.
The gentleman will state the form of his resolution.
Declaring the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives to be vacant, resolved that the office of Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
Now, again, that was the resolution as introduced yesterday by Matt Gaetz. And, of course, today, the House making a decision. Now, keep in mind, there is no way if things are going to be done without support from Democrats. And Democrats have made it clear before the vote even was taken today that they were going to basically side with Gaetz to oust McCarthy. So by now you know what happened. But I want to give you some background on how it had to come about. And again, the simmering that continues. This is not over with this vote today. Don't think it is. And don't think that, well, now we can all go in peace, because there's so many questions yet to be resolved. Today's vote was today's vote. Tomorrow's drama is yet to come. But let's go over some details that need to be kept in mind here. When you're looking at the vote as they were saying set up, and I'm talking about in the beginning, before the vote was actually taken today. In the House of Representatives, we have 221 Republicans. That's two delegates and the resident commissioner of Puerto Rico. You have 213 Democrats, plus three delegates and their two vacant seats. For Gaetz to succeed and getting what he wanted, he knew exactly the number of votes he needed. And he made it clear, look, McCarthy, I put you into the speaker position on the 15th ballot when I gave you the vote you needed to get over the hump. And, of course, from that time, Gaetz's claim has been, not from immediately, that was back in January, but watching how McCarthy is doing things, Gates was saying, you're not living up to the word you gave us. Now, on Capitol Hill, like in many legislatures and in personal life, business life, your word is valuable, or it's not. And Gates pushing the idea that McCarthy was mouthing to one side what they wanted to hear and going to the other side and tell them what they wanted to hear. Quite honestly, it's not a lot different than presidential campaigns. When they're in one area, they're going to address the needs of that group because it's important to them. Stop and think about it. Here you have Joe Biden going up to stand with the United Auto Workers picket line a little bit. Get some video, photo ops. Hey, I'm for the common man. At the same time, he was stabbing United Auto Workers in the back because a lot were going to be losing jobs and they were not getting more money because the companies were having a retool for EV, electric vehicles. But it was a good dog and pony show. And Gates made a claim the other day that when it came to Ukraine spending, and that we need to hold the line on Ukraine spending, and McCarthy was pushing that idea as well, Gates says there is really a deal done behind doors.
Clearly somebody's been lied to, because we heard the president come out and say there was a deal with the speaker on Ukraine, and the speaker just stood up in front of all of us and said that there's no deal on Ukraine. The House Democrats say there's a deal on Ukraine, so we're going to have to sort that out. We're going to have to sort out who's lying, because somebody's lying about whether or not, as in this CR negotiation, there was a secret side deal on Ukraine funding. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to have to see, and exactly when we're going to get all the details of that. As I said, there will be more drama to come. Today's vote is, mark it down as today's vote, period. Now, I want you to listen to an opinion of a GOP strategist, Boyd Matheson. Now, again, put the vote itself aside. Look at maybe what's behind all of this. And Matheson, again, a GOP strategist, says, you cannot ignore what is right in front of your face when you look at Matt Gaetz.
In rich irony, and something you couldn't even write in Hollywood, even if there wasn't a strike, is this idea that Matt Gaetz is saying, I have to do this motion to vacate the chair because Speaker McCarthy made a deal with Democrats to get the CR passed. And what Matt Gaetz is now doing is dealing with Democrats to try to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. So pretty rich irony there that he's going to try to oust Kevin McCarthy for working with Democrats while he's working with Democrats to try to oust Kevin McCarthy. So pretty rich there. And sadly, that undermines the very thing that Kevin McCarthy just spoke to, which is the trust in the institution of the House.
And we have seen a lot of that erode, have we not? Again, you're listening to GOP strategist Boyd Matheson.
We know that trust is at an all-time low in our institutions, especially in Congress. This doesn't help. You know, we are exactly 45 days away from the next version of the shutdown showdown. And all of this is just theatrics and palace intrigue. It's doing nothing to move forward the will of the people. Matt Gaetz ought to be on the floor of the House saying, hey, I actually have a plan to fund the government. I have a plan to do this. The other irony, Marnie, is that Mr. Gaetz doesn't have anyone to put forward as a replacement speaker. So there's no plan there. He's not putting himself forward. And so to me, this all goes to what Senator Ben Sasse from Nebraska used to call performative jackassery. It's performative politics. And Mr. Gaetz is really good at chaos and stirring the pot and getting all of this side and shiny object stuff. But he's not advancing anything for the people he represents. He's also hindering the ability of Congress to do the job and do the will of the American people.
Well, to that point, again, we go back to Tennessee Congressman Burchett saying that we are, as a group, as a Congress, as a GOP, failing the American public.
I think we need to seriously look at where we're headed as a country, and $33 trillion in debt is not a good look for this country, I think. We have an opportunity. Yeah. I think we are elected to do something, and yet I think we are abdicating our duties every time we do this. We really have one job, and you know that. We have to have passed 12 appropriations bills and a budget, yet we failed to do that, and that was what? And that's in the law.
It is in the law, and you're hearing Maria Bartiromo agreeing with him. And the other point Burchett brings up, do we have a chief?
We're just kind of a rudderless ship. Oddly enough, you never saw the Democrats, and everybody gets mad at me when I say this, but you never saw the Democrats lose any of these things when they put them on the floor. And now we've, we say, let's put our stake in the sand when we talk about things like the budget and things. Yet that sand is the old scriptural song, is shifting sands, and they shift quite often. But I think we just have to have some guts and be honest with the American public and say we're going to do these things, then go ahead. And now we're talking about we're cutting a deal on Ukraine funding. So we've got a lot of problems, Maria, and spending is definitely one of them. And we need somebody in leadership that's going to say enough is enough with this, and we're not seeing it.
Now, the point again about today's vote, and as I said, what's done is done, and yet it's not done. Because even before the vote, Gates was indicating he didn't have anyone in particular he wanted to say should be speaker. Apparently Jim Jordan didn't want it. A couple others didn't want it. And when Burchett was asked directly by Maria Bartiromo about it, reference who would end up being speaker, who would be promoted, Gates, listen to this.
No, ma'am, Matt Gates does not want to be speaker. I wouldn't wish that. I wouldn't step out of the electric chair to be speaker of the House, ma'am. And Matt Gates definitely does not want to be speaker. I can tell you that.
Now, that's pretty strong. I wouldn't get out of the electric chair just to be speaker of the House. It's a lot of burden that goes with it. You were trying to corral cats. It's not easy. Because they all have their own desires, their own whims, and they all answer to their own group, which elected them. And in the House, which makes it dramatically different than in the Senate, every House member, I remind you, is up for re-election every 2 years. Now stop and think about that. You no longer and no sooner take your oath that you are now a member of Congress in the House, maybe your first time, maybe your fourth time, but you've already got to have the wheels turning. How am I going to continue to be here 2 years from now to again take my oath of office if I choose to do so? Some are not doing so. They've decided to walk away. I told you yesterday about Indiana Congresswoman Sparks that I have no interest in continuing. If we're not going to do the job I was sent here to do and I told my constituents I would do, I don't care. And there are those in the public in general looking at all of this and they're saying, where are the adults? We got a bunch of five-year-olds in the House pushing themselves around and bullying each other. Are things being done for the American public? That's got to be the final line. And then when it comes to a presidential decision, I ask you to raise the same question. Is the person I'm voting for president, will they actually help this country? It would start, do they love the country? Before we wrap up today's program, Bill Maher has Ron DeSantis on, a very interesting conversation. That's still to come. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
Because she's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So Hunter Biden, of course, denied receiving, quote, one cent from his family's dealing with BHA Partners associate Jonathan Lee from China. There was a video from October 2019 showing that. And that was the same summer 2019 that Biden, Hunter Biden, received two wires totaling $260,000 originating from BHR Partners Associates, including Jonathan Lee. And remember, that was the one that listed Joe Biden's Delaware home as the address for the funds to be sent. All of that, of course, revealed last week by the House Oversight Committee. The fund bankrolled by the Bank of China. But again, months after the bank wires were received, Hunter Biden was doing an interview with ABC News, and the question was asked of the reporter for Biden, have you received any money from that business dealing? They already knew about the wire. They were dealing with that as well. He said, no, I take it back. At that point, they didn't know about the wire. That had not been made public. They may have known, but it was not public for the general purpose of knowing. But the reporter asking, have you received any money from that business dealing with BHR Partners Associate, Jonathan Lee, the Chinese operative, then again using money bankrolled by the Bank of China? And he said, no. And the reporter pushed, not 1 cent? And Hunter Biden declaimed, not 1 cent. Now they're looking at the time frame that was involved and showing, of course, that Hunter Biden was in California. By his own words and his book stated, I was in California on certain dates. He said, I remained in California and spent much of the summer 2019 painting. He was just splashing paint on something and knowing he could do way to launder money and go sell it to buyers who would not be disclosed and cover up his tracks some more. But anyway, I was spending the summer, much of the summer 2019, painting, developing plans for my memoir, which he later did complete. So the money apparently was sent to the Delaware home in the summer 2019 when Biden wrote in his own book, I remained in California and spent much of the summer 2019 painting and developing my memoir. His memoir titled Beautiful Things. What a skunk of a name for Hunter Biden and all of his dealings. So again, he was insisting that he lived in California at the time his Chinese partners wired money to Delaware, the address. Now, the money wired from Beijing, China, also contradicts Joe Biden's false claim that he made repeatedly. Hunter Biden never made any money from China. In fact, in one debate or questionnaire he was being asked about, he said, my son never got any money from that, what do you call it, China. Like, what, the one of the biggest countries in the world, China? Really? Really, Joe? No one believed it then, and now they certainly don't. There's a book coming out, and I want to read some excerpts from it. Now, again, this is a slanted book in the sense of the source, Breitbart News, and the Breitbart editor-in-chief, Alex Marlowe, writing it. So you can look at it and say, well, it's all going to be kind of pushing an agenda. You are allowed to do what you want with it, but let me read some of it. The title, it's just coming out, Breaking Biden, Exposing the Hidden Forces and Secret Money Machine Behind Joe Biden, His Family, and His Administration. Pretty thick, long title. But the book covers everything I just read. Pointing out in part that while media reports were focusing on the University of Pennsylvania's Biden Center, remember that? Less attention was being paid to the University of Delaware's Biden Institute, even though those two institutes were open on the same day, one University of Pennsylvania, one the University of Delaware, Pennsylvania called the Biden Center, the one in Delaware, the Biden Institute, opened the same day and meant to serve a shared goal of being incubators of advancing globalism and leftism. The UPenn Biden Center became a pipeline for longtime Biden allies into his administration. And as previously reported by Peter Schweitzer, preceded a suspicious influx in Chinese donations to the university. Now, that has been made public to a large extent. A lot of money coming from anonymous Chinese donors to get this Biden Center, Penn Center, open in Pennsylvania. So the key players, he points out, the University of Delaware's Biden Institute were either Biden family members, people with deep ties to China, or both. And he said, I'm revealing in my book, University of Delaware, Biden operation was, quote, Hunter's baby, and was part of a larger strategy to replicate, here it comes, you don't know how big this is going to get, you don't know how big this is going to get. My next words are, it was Hunter's baby, part of a larger strategy to replicate the Clinton Global Initiative without onerous fundraising. Remember how that worked? Hillary Clinton and Bill set up this Clinton Foundation to better the world. We're going to help do this and do that. And all this money coming in from various countries because she was presumed to be the next president. Bill had been president. They're getting all this money from various companies and countries, communist countries as well. Russia then paying Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, $500,000 to give a speech, which he probably just sat there and yucked it up. I remember the day. I will never forget the day I first met Monica Lewinsky. No, he probably didn't get into that story, did he? But I doubt he sat down and put together a real speech, unless it was a copy of something he'd given somewhere else. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of blowback on the book, and I expect that, and I'm sure they do as well. But they're referring to emails that, again, in March 2016, Hunter and his colleagues met with incoming University of Delaware president to discuss plans for the UD, University of Delaware, and UPenn venture months before the new president was officially instated. And the guy they instated also has deep, long-standing ties to China. If you scratch a Biden, you might find they've got Chinese emblems on their arms. I was with a group of men and women last night at a social event, but nowadays, how many social events turn into political discussions? Well, of course, eventually it did. A couple good friends of mine, and they were going at each other. Then one of them going at me. Then the other one going at me. So it goes. But we could still have a civil discussion and have a disagreement. So you can take this book and either believe it word for word. I wouldn't believe anything word for word myself. Or you could question each and every word. But some of it is already documented. But it is apparently going to blow off a lot of the cover of how deep the Bidens were into China, or should I say China into the Bidens, and thereto inside and into our nation. See, that to me is still going to remain the main key, and that is, what have we done to jeopardize our nation, our national security? All right, I mentioned earlier, talk show host Bill Maher had Ron DeSantis on his program, governor of Florida. And even as Bill Maher was introducing, he acted surprised. Ron DeSantis on my program? I mean, like he didn't know it's coming. Obviously he did, but, and the audience had a great laugh and reaction about it. You're bringing Ron DeSantis on? I mean, they were applauding when he came out. But I want you to hear some of it. We will begin that story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I think it's unfair what they did to you, because you did handle it better. You did handle it better. You were right. You were like, let's target the people, protect the people who are most vulnerable, and everybody else can go on with their lives a little better. You open schools sooner. And a lot of the stuff that's come in, the information we have after now, we've had a few years to look at it, you were more right. And they won't give you credit for that.
That is Bill Maher talking to Ron DeSantis saying, as far as how you handled COVID, looking back on it, you were right. Bill Maher has been an enigma in many ways. I mean, I often considered him a far leftist and so forth, but if he ever was close to the approximation and I placed him in the category, he's evolving. He is no longer far left and just preaching and pushing that gospel. He's become more center and more fair. Doesn't mean he doesn't have some leftist views, but he even joked with DeSantis at one point because they were talking about friends Bill Maher would have in Hollywood that some of them were still criticizing Ron DeSantis, and Maher said, I don't have any friends in Hollywood. So apparently he has cut those ties, or more accurately, they cut ties with him because he's no longer following, quote, the party line. So he was pointing out that you were right, Governor DeSantis, in what you did versus what we were told should be done and what was being done mostly in blue states, blue cities, and for a large part, red cities and states, because, again, it was fear and uncertainty and lies coming from the CDC, National Institute of Health, and Dr. Fake. But DeSantis says it's not for the credit.
You were more right. And they won't give you credit for that.
Well, it's
the
not
New York
about
Times.
Credit for me, though. It's not about credit for me. It's, right, about, okay, but, it's about them admitting that they
right,
were wrong. Because
right.
they are setting us up. If this
right.
happened again, they would repeat the same playbook all over again.
But,
and if we don't have accountability, that's what's going to happen. So I'll bring accountability so it never happens right, in our country I again.
Mean, I hope that is true. And, of course, that's his pitch to be president, saying, I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. Now, DeSantis has been improving in some of the numbers, but right now you still have Trump so far ahead. I don't see a way to close the gap. And Trump continues to have to deal with his court trial, even though the judge threw out, according to Trump, about 80% of the case against him yesterday. Claiming that he had overstayed, the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, had made it clear that you were going to get Trump. And the basis of this was he defrauded people because he overstated the value of his wealth and his buildings when he's seeking loans. But as Trump pointed out, and apparently it's been verified, no loan had a default with him. Everything got paid and on time. He was a perfect guy to lend money to. So he overstated the value of a piece of property. They lent money on it. Now, they would be doing their due diligence, supposedly. Whether or not they recognized it, we thought, well, the guy's going to be good for it. I don't know. But the bottom line is, no bank is involved in a case against Trump for defrauding them. This is all the New York Attorney General. It's clear politics. And, of course, trying to keep him off the campaign trail. So DeSantis might gain a little bit, and Trump continues to make remarks which I wish he would just zip it up, making out like Nikki Haley doesn't have the intelligence of a bird or something, sending a birdcage to her house. Come on. I've said repeatedly, I expect my president to be more classy. And yet, what he did with the nation, the economy, sometimes you just ignore some of it and say, let's what we can do what we can to help the country. Now, Bill Maher also continued this interview with DeSantis talking about how the New York Times has turned into, we all know, and Maher's now acknowledging, a swamp creature.
I saw the New York Times did such a despicable hit piece on you that I saw because I forget what the lead headline was, but it was basically Ron DeSantis fucked up the pandemic. And then, like, at the very end, it says Florida's death rate overall was better than the national average. Now, if you're going to do an article about Florida and the pandemic, shouldn't that be the lead?
Yeah, wouldn't you think? That would be the lead. But not if you're trying to protect Joe Biden and the leftists. Speaking about protecting the leftist, Congressman Jamal Bowman, of course, Democrat in New York, who ripped down two signs warning of a pulling and pushing these doors were triggering a fire alarm, and then even went over and pulled the fire alarm, trying to delay a vote. That's interrupting Congress's duties, just as they want to claim January 6th was doing. They're supposedly still investigating, but no charges filed, and yet there's video showing him doing it. How far do you want to let that go without somebody saying, enough is enough? Now, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on some of the other issues, and that involves not only the Gates deal, but what else can we get out of this?